That's what I'm talking about. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Arvanauts, to the premiere of Shire Adventures. We are sponsored by Free League Publishing. Thank you to Free League for making it possible for to do stuff like to produce the video that you just saw done by Peripheral Mike. I think Mike has once again outdone himself. I love that video. It's exactly the feel that I was hoping for, and I think it fits very well for the tone of Shire Adventures. I'm excited, and I thank you to Mike, and thank you to Free League for sponsoring us, and also, of course, thanks to our very own Tari Toons, because a lot of the art that you're going to see is going to be powerful and related to the campaign and amazing and awesome. And that is all courtesy of the amazing work done by Tari Toons. If anyone has one of the original copies, which was actually reprinted of The Hobbit, you will recognize that blue and green drawing style, which is very much in the style of Professor Tolkien. Very excited for that as we get ready for Shire Adventures, the premiere of Shire Adventures as part of the Lord of the Rings role-playing 5th edition. Very excited to start these things up today. Before we get started, just a couple of reminders about ways to support us here on the channel. If you haven't done so already, please follow the channel. Please check out our YouTube with @ArvTube, our Discord with @ArvCord, our Twitter with @ArvTweets, our website, ArvinElleron.com, and financially, of course, ArvShop, which is, again, about to be under heavy construction, but you'll be able to get some stuff related to our campaigns there. ArvTreon, that is the Patreon that allows me to pay for videos and things like that. Although in this case, it also was thanks to significant supplementing from Free League. So thank you again to them. But ArvTreon is how we pay for everything else. So support to that is always much appreciated. You can get stuff for you and stuff for the channel more generally, as subscribing to the channel will help you do as well. You can get inspirations to help our players. You can get all kinds of stuff, including emotes to use here, there, and everywhere across Twitch, et cetera, et cetera. So that is always fun and useful for us. So please consider doing that. As always, on the publishing side, Icarus is my graphic novel from Athos Arts. Library is my Tales and Tomes, The Forbidden Library, my 5e adventure and sourcebook from Alligator Alley Entertainment. And, of course, Grayshade, my novel which came out last year from Athos Arts. That link will allow you to order that book and also pre-order Heretic, which is, Renegade. I always do that in reverse order. Renegade, which is coming out later this year. Heretic will be coming out next year. That'll be the conclusion of the Grey Assassin trilogy. And you'll be able to pre-order the Grayshade tabletop role-playing game coming later this year from Brandon O'Brien and Alligator Alley Entertainment, and the audiobook of Grayshade done by our very own Trent Sparks. So I'm excited for those. You will definitely want to check that out. Any support folks can give is very much appreciated on that score. And last but certainly not least, BLM, Black Lives Matter. Recent events will tell you again that it has never been more important to affirm and assert the significance and importance of Black lives. Help Now, the World Health Organization page on suicide prevention. Very important to reach out to others when you need help and reach out to others when they need help as well. And Ukraine, the fine people of Ukraine as they fight back against an illegal and illegitimate and devastating war. This is our chance to help them stand up and fight back in a small way and to be able to support them as they go through that fight and send the message we will do so for others as well. Quick scheduling note, we are doing this tonight. As you know, this is a little bit of a different setup. Normally I stream earlier on Tuesdays, but today it's 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern. We will again be doing that next week because Tuesday the 7th will be the second session of Shire Adventures. So definitely join us again next week at 5 p.m. for that. We will be off on Wednesday and Thursday. And then on Friday of this week, Sorcery will be back. Inkle's Sorcery for the Crown of Kings as we continue with that. I will talk much more about February schedule, but I'm not going to do that today. Although I do have a big ArvCon related announcement. And I would appreciate it if people remind me at the end of the stream after I've let the folks go from the players, please remind me somebody that I need to do that so I can make that announcement. I'm ready to talk about what this big event that opens up ArvCon is going to be. So we're going to do that. It's going to be good times. That having been said, though, today I am very pleased to have the incredible crew of Shire Adventures returning. And so I have unmuted myself. I apologize to anyone I may have inadvertently interrupted over there. And now, for the first time, I am happy to bring you over to the brand new overlay of That is right. You are looking at the overlay of the Lord of the Rings role playing, and you can see the crew is here. They're looking fresh, ready, excited, prepared. No other issues going on with anyone's life at all. But we are here, and I could not be more excited to have good friends, wonderful role players with us for this. And it does look awesome. And this is the work of Tari Toons. And I mean, everyone already knows how amazing Tari is, like as multiple things, including as an artist. But just like, man, like this is really, really great stuff. So thank you again publicly to Tari for being this awesome. And I am going to start. Now, part of what we're doing today, chat, it's a little bit of a mix because we are doing a little bit of character, more than a little, a decent amount of character creation. And then we'll do adventure stuff towards the end. But we are going to do some character creation first. That said, though, we have a basic understanding of these characters. And so with that said, as I introduce each player, I'm going to ask them to tell us a little bit about maybe just the publicly available information that you could get from just looking at a particular character that they are playing, and we'll sort of do it that way. So I will start with the person at the top left of the screen, which happens to be Amal Elmatar, who is with us. Amal, it is good to see you. You are here. It's just where you showed up on the screen. You can blame Tari.
What?
It's completely Tari's fault.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. You are starting things off this time. So you are the lead.
Oh, my goodness. I think I went by alphabetical order or something. Like there was like some reason I sorted everybody like this, but yeah.
It makes sense. Great. So Amal, welcome. Happy New Year for the first time since I haven't seen you publicly on stream. So Happy New Year. How are you? And tell us just very little basics you want to tell us about the character you're playing.
I am okay. I'm exhausted. I have spent most of this month ill. Like many people who I know.
Yeah.
So it's been not super great, but I'm here, and the character I'm playing is everything looks great. The overlay looks amazing, the art looks amazing, doesn't it? And stuff. The character I'm playing is Coriander Took, who is tiny and adorable. And she will took your heart. I think.
See what you did there.
You see what I did there.
You should do some writing, Amal, or something. I would say.
I think I'd be good at it.
Yeah.
I think I'd be okay at writing.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have some natural talent for it, maybe.
Thank you. Anyway, Coriander, she is related to someone else in this campaign. She is the granddaughter of Granny Lavender. She's small, rambunctious, gets into a lot of trouble, just has a keen sense of to whom things ought to belong, and that doesn't necessarily align with the current reality of whom things belong to. So that's what I'm going to say.
It's good. She is redistributing it, as it were. Perhaps
she's just
herself.
Giving things homes that right. ought to have them that are different right. from the homes they might currently have.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. She's freeing them really from their environments otherwise. Well, we are going to talk more about what kind of character this is, chat, when we get into the character development. But awesome, Amal. I am super excited for that. And I am also excited for, I'm going to adjust Brad's cam a little bit because poor Brad is currently sitting behind his actual character. I just realized, like, he's so into it that you literally can't even tell the difference between him and the actual character. I was just kind of like, what? I'm actually stuck. Okay, I will fix that. But that, of course, is Brad Bollier here, and we are here with Brad. And Brad, too, has a new character. That's much better. Okay. Has a new character and some new awesomeness to share. So same question, Brad. How are you as life in the universe with you? And again, Happy New Year publicly for the first time this year. And how are you doing? And who is just basic about who this character is that you're playing?
I'm doing pretty good. I am dealing with a book that has on me, and I'm getting some.
Yeah, you're. I think it may be picking up your wrong mic because I'm not getting
it
very well.
I think what's happening, Brad, is that in Roll 20, it now automatically puts a camera on you for some reason, mm-hmm. which is very annoying. So if you go into Roll 20, turn that off.
Ah.
And that should hopefully fix this, because yeah, you're cutting out a bit.
And while we're doing that, let's talk about something that Brad was involved with. This is a book that finally showed up in the mail the other day, and I could not be happier. In fact, I forgot why I backed this, and it showed up, and I was like, what the hell is this book? I don't understand. And I started looking through it. I'm like, wait a minute. I know that guy. That's why I backed this. Right.
It's almost like Trent has some voice ability. I think you should get into this voice acting thing a bit, Trent, and narration. I think you could do all right. You could manage.
Have you considered, Greg, having a mid-roll ad read by Trent? Because
not until just this second, but that's a great idea.
I just think that
this
that
is brought to you by yeah.
Yeah, that particular voice that Trent just did is very good for that. And I think, for one, that we should hear more of it.
I totally agree with that. I have this image that in the middle of some like super tense moment, like, and the wolf was closing in, just be like, this seems like a good moment to discuss the books of the people on stream. Have you, you know, yeah.
If you like wolves, you will wolf down this deal.
Oh, man. You think the fur's flying in here? You should check out this book. Anyway. But it is always. Oh, I was about to move on from Brad, and I realized Brad hadn't even introduced himself. We just had him figure out the mic. Sorry, let's try that again, Brad. Can we hear you now? Now I hear you not at all. Hear nothing.
So let's talk
Wouldn't
about...
Wouldn't be a stream without tech issues.
That's right. Nope.
I heard that.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Talk again.
Normally, three.
I think what's happening is Zoom is picking up not the right mic. I think Zoom is picking up maybe your webcam mic because it's cutting in and out. And
Let me tell you, on roll 20, it is still picking up your mic. So you turned the video off there, but the mic is still on. I think you have to actually disable it from like the top of the browser, as opposed to if you look at if you're in, what am I using, Chrome, then at the top you have to like block the page from accessing your camera and microphone, or at least that's what I did, which I've never had to do before. I don't know why Roll20 is doing this. Extremely irritating.
Yeah. I opened up a new campaign because I didn't want to crowd more stuff into AIME. Nope.
Now
not
you're
you at all.
Yeah.
So that definitely means Zoom is not picking up your mic at all then. Bear with us, chat. Actually, why don't I do this? While Brad is figuring that out, let me move on and have other folks introduce themselves, because that makes sense. And then, Brad, when you feel like you have something, we'll slide back up to you, and we'll get it all done. So hang tight, Brad, chat, on figuring out who Brad is playing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in the meantime, we're going to talk to someone who is responsible for much of the art you're going to see in this stream. Someone was just a trifle inspired, chat, just a little... There was just a little, you know, was kind of vaguely interested in this campaign, sort of. Was kind of like, yeah, you know, it's all right. You know, maybe just a bit. And produced this just incredible, this overwhelming, this feast of amazingness that you see in front of you. And that, of course, is Tari Toons. Tari, good to see you. I guess I did see you because we did the Fighting Fantasy in January. So yes, I did see you. So I don't have to say Happy New Year to you again, but I do have to say hello and thank you yet again for this incredible art. How are you doing? And please give us some of the very basics of your character too, please.
Well, a terrible new year to you then.
Yeah, I don't have to wish you anything.
No, like I said, not my first time this year on the channel, but I've been anxiously awaiting this game. I've been slightly prepping with like making custom character sheets and decorating notebooks and stuff. I've been very much looking forward to this. As to my character, I'm playing Granny Lavender Hope Singer. I'm a herbalist and apothecary. apothecary from Hobbiton, and I cure all sorts of ailments, and everybody in town thinks I'm a little bit cuckoo, but that's all right because they are right. And they can just shove off. So that's me. Hello.
I am super excited for Granny Lavender Hopesinger. Also, when referring by the first name, I should know this up front. Should it be Lavender that I'm referring to, or Granny? Like, what's the sort of Granny sees this?
Well, you dearie can just call me Granny.
Granny, okay, awesome. I am so excited to be able to have this. May be the oldest character that we've ever had in a campaign. I think I don't know that I.
Yes,
ever
and had... I'm the youngest person on stream, which makes it even funnier. So
I mean, listen, you didn't need to bring that part up, but it's fine. but I awesome. I'm very excited. Thank you, Tari. All right, Brad, let's give this another shot. Let's see.
Brad had asked if he should drop Zoom and reconnect, which you could. If you do, the cameras get.
Yeah,
but that's okay. He can fix it. That's what he does.
I can fix
here.
It. That's fine. Yeah. Just do that, and then we'll.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Yeah. Go ahead and drop and reconnect, Brad, and then we'll go from there. All right. So bear with us for just a second. Older than Agatha and COS. True. Although Agatha was, but see, Agatha wasn't always old, right? Agatha had, unless
Most
Granny Lavender,
weren't.
Unless Granny is able to, you know, become a young woman every other day or something, then. Doesn't quite
I was there then 3,000 years ago. That's how old I am. No.
I was there when
not
the courage...
hold the deep magic at me.
Which I was there when it was written. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. Or I was thinking the other one would be like, you know, I was there when the courage of men failed. It's just like, you know, the courage of hobbits failed.
Which do you go with? You go with, you know, the Lord of the Rings or Narnia? Which which
exactly.
Quote do you use at that point?
Both yeah. Equally possible for this situation. Yeah. All mm-hmm. Right, Brad is coming back in. Everyone cross your fingers. It's going to work.
In the meantime, I can like show like the nonsense I've gotten into. I've
it's
made
not
going to
show though.
Family tree.
But wait though, Tara, it's
oh,
not
yeah,
going
right.
to show anything. don't waste it on a broken away because I need that.
I kind of want to study what happens with the windows because there's like an amazing Mondrian sort of effect with like the abstractness of where does my arm go when I put it at. Oh no, there we go. Now
okay,
it's
see.
Sort of.
That's fine. We'll fix this. Don't fear not.
Oh.
Just
almost everybody's please.
We'll get there.
A little jigsaw puzzle. Look at that.
It totally
like the,
is.
It's like the sliding puzzles that Arv hates.
The thing that I really don't like about it is I don't understand why I can't just like switch it directly and it just like literally changes those. Instead, it doesn't do that. Instead, it's just like, nope, we're going to move that else somewhere randomly. Okay, so that's where that goes. That's almost right, except that.
No.
And that's right. Okay, good. Now we're set. Okay, now let's try this again. How are we feeling, Brad? Nope. Not hearing you. That arrow next to the microphone, if you click the little arrow next to the microphone in Zoom, it'll show you the different mic sources.
Any luck?
Ah.
Yay!
It's a Bradley.
Keep talking, okay. Though.
Yeah, can you hear me now? I'm
yep.
Testing my mic. I am in Wisconsin.
Yep, you're good.
Okay. Sounds pretty good.
You're good. Woo! Saved.
I like you starting to share like real details about where you are, and I was like, great, now could you just read us your credit card
quick before it goes?
By the way, go on.
Oh man, sorry about that, Brad, that happened, but we're all good. Everyone's fine here. How are you? So yes, how are you doing? How's life in the universe with you? And yes, can you give me the basics of your character, please?
Yeah, I was saying that I'm wrestling with this book that has exploded on me. That's slightly annoying, but a book takes what it takes in the end. But Trent brought up the King Must Fall. I have to give myself a little pat on the back for that. That was an idea I had forever ago. And I briefly considered like trying to do an anthology myself along those lines and decided I just didn't have the time and, you know, space to do it. So I gave it to Adrian Collins at Grimdark Magazine, and he did the whole Kickstarter and stuff, and got a nice little acknowledgement. I got a story in it for people who like the Shara Kai series. It has the what may be the last novella set in that world. It's called The Last Days of Old Sharkhai, and it covers a bit of one of the main characters, one of the kings, who plays sort of a mercurial role in the series. You know, we don't know what he's about in the beginning. We think he's evil. He turns out to be something else entirely. So it's a fun story. So do check that out if you're interested in that kind of milieu. A lot of medieval type stories about rulers who really have to stop being rulers by any means necessary.
It's really time for you to stop being a ruler now.
Just leave, please. No? Okay, well then.
Leave this mortal plane. Could you leave? Yeah.
Hey, guess what? It's March 15th.
Yeah, seriously. Need to beware of those.
So I'm playing Calorin Cal Fallowhide, who is a distant cousin of sorts, nephew sort of person of Bolo, Bolobras Took, and also a distant relation of Coriander and I'm forgetting Tari's character's name.
Lavender. Also, you're not a distant relative of Coriander. You are her uncle.
Is that what I am?
According to my notes, you are her uncle.
I want you to know in my notes chat, you have no idea how long the parenthesis in which I'm like granddaughter of so, related to so. Like I'm just like, oh Christ. This is what happens when you run a Shire campaign. Like every hobbit is like, well, that's my third cousin once removed on my mother's side.
What happened here was that I had the frankly hubristic notion that I could just say that someone was a Took and related to Tari's character, and that we could just, you know, let it be. But Tari was like, no, where are we fitting them in the canon?
Yes, exactly.
And produced, like, family charts, and was like, all right, well, it would make sense to put them here. And now, as a consequence, Coriander has a lot more family than I expected. Also, Tari knows more about them than I do. So, like, which parent is the Took? I don't even remember. Which
is it? That would be your dad is the Took. Your mom is my kid.
All right, so you're my mom's mom. And that means Brad is which parent's sibling?
Your dad's brother.
Ah, okay, great. So the other two. So Granny and Brad's character are not related. Okay.
Well, yes, they also are related.
What? What?
So they are.
I cannot wait to find the Ur-Hobbit as a part of this adventure and be like, from here springs all hobbits. Like well, I've just been down here at the end of Hobbit End.
So Calorin is, it just says that he's my second cousin once removed.
Okay.
I would need to check the other, but yeah, like basically there's like this whole, the entire canon Hobbit tree is basically a bunch of very knotted apart circles, basically. Sure. So
Arv, eventually you'll have to fold in the family tree into the intro video. You just kind of do like a little fade in, a little fade out.
I'll get right on that. I'll talk to Free League about it. We only need 10 minutes for this video. Just 10 minutes.
You guys remember the old Took, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's Bilbo's grandpa, right?
Right.
Okay, so all the Took people in this family are descended from him, and my character is descended from his sister. And that's how that all fits together. And then it, like, comes back together again at some point.
I will 100% remember all of this. There's no question in my mind.
That's why I have it written down and put it in the Discord for everybody's.
So now we have all of this. Actually, I think I misspelled your last name, Brad. Is it Fallouh or Fallowh?
Oh,
W, as I recall.
It is Oh, it's not W. Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't actually lie fallow. That's good. Which would be different.
Yeah, so Calorin is a messenger. I'm thinking he runs wherever he needs to run, but basically one of the more common ones is like bringing messages and packages to Bree and back, that sort of thing. He likely has a pony. He's young-ish. He's a curious sort. So I am curious to see what he gets up to.
Very, very cool. I am also excited too. It's going to be great. Awesome. I remember him from his Hobbit mitzvah.
I will say too, he's also an aspiring cartographer. So like on his trips, he sort of takes time to map things out and stuff. So he's got a book of maps that he's kept. He collects other maps, that kind of stuff.
Hence that portrait, which is so great. I like that of him actually staring at a map. I love it. Yeah. And we're going to get lots of maps in this for sure. So definitely you will see more of that, Chad. Also really awesome. Very excited for that and see how Cal gets up to things. And last but certainly not least, we have the one in this party, non-Hobbit, and also playing the role of Scooby or Shaggy-Doo. This is the picture, honestly, that when I saw this, I was just like, oh my God, it is the Scooby-Doo campaign. Like the expression and everything is just absolutely chef's kiss. It's so good.
But unlike other Scooby-Doo franchises or like spin-offs, ours actually has a dog, which we will come to later.
Ah, okay, right. who is related, incidentally, to Stone and 75 other dogs. No. Anyway. So this is the amazing Tren Sparks, who will be responsible for narrating Greyshade and many other books that you've heard and so on. But
if they've already heard it, why do I need to narrate?
Because it's good, because they haven't heard it as only you can do it. That's my point. Like, they've only heard me talk about it. They haven't heard it.
Oh, they've heard you talk about it.
Totally different thing.
Heard of it, not heard it.
How are you doing, Tren? How's life with you? Who are you playing in this campaign in basic form?
First things first. Echo Alpha. Eberron can suck it. What?
Yeah,
I beg your pardon?
No attacking other campaigns for this game. Eberron's great too. Just very different.
No, that has to wait till next arc, and then we can.
That right. Then you can trash talk all you want as we raise money for charity. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, for real. Yeah.
It was like the one thing from chat that I locked onto. The cinematics going by, I'm like, oh yeah, I glance over at chat, like, Eberron can suck, excuse me?
Yeah, because Trent knows if he doesn't do that and one of them finds out, they'll be like, so you couldn't even say anything, huh? You just let that happen, right? And then, yeah, so there.
So I am playing some guy who I'm going to have to look at the screen to remember what his name is. Titch Applebaum. Yeah.
How could you forget Titch?
It's a very short name. It's easy to forget.
It's so, like Twitch, but with no W.
See, I've already had this flash forward, fantasy while I was laying in bed earlier today, being completely unable to sleep, that because I forgot that this was at 2 p.m. my time instead of 9 a.m. my time. And so I was like, okay, it's not just a question of me staying up later than normal. I have to stay up all night. Anyway, so I'm laying there and I'm like, what happens if we were playing and my character dies in the very first episode? It's like, what do? I need to have, a series of backups. I mean, if all these hobbits are going to be related to each other, I need to have a string of relatives, brothers and sisters who are ready to go. So
it's Mitch Applebaum.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Mitch, Titch, Rich.
Which? It's Fitch, Fitchburg. Fitch Applebaum.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. Kitch. Oh, exactly. Applebaum.
They're all waiting back in green.
And the black sheep of the family, Litch Applebaum. That
I was going to say Mitch Applebaum.
We don't
Applebaum.
Talk much about what, Litch
no,
Applebaum.
No. That's like his character when he gets revived as a villain.
Negatitch. Negatitch is Litch.
Oh, wow.
When he succumbs to Shadow, he becomes Litch Applebaum.
Yes!
It writes itself.
Litch and Witch.
Literally, that's true. Triffid suggests Snitch Applebaum, and also, yeah.
Snitch! There's Snitch, and then there's Stitch, because you get...
Exactly, that's Granny's job. She stitches Titch up at the thing. That's all right. Titches get stitches, it's fine. So what was I talking about? Right, so he is a man of Bree. And I figure, because this takes place not long after our previous campaign, right?
In the ballpark, it actually is the spring. It takes place in the spring of 1360 by Shire Reckoning, which is 2960 of the Third Age.
So what's going to happen is he's going to live long enough to go back to Bree and be an old man guarding the gate when these nine riders on dark horses come through, knock the gate down, and crush him.
He's the guy in the film that holds up the lantern when they come through.
Four of it. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So we know he has to live. It's like a story that's written in retrospective. You know the main character lives because he wouldn't be allowed to tell the story in past tense.
Absolutely, yeah. This is like a very extended version of How I Met Your Mother, where we don't actually know which one's telling the story until you're like, oh yeah, that guy. So very, very exciting. As you can see, chat, this is a great crew, and I am very much looking forward to the tone and the feel of this. Is going to be great. I should mention before we go any further, just a quick note to everyone that we are playing the Lord of the Rings role-playing system. Now, for those of you who don't know, we have been playing Adventures in Middle-earth, which was the system under Cubicle 7. Cubicle 7 no longer has the license. Free League got it. Free League released the One Ring, which is their second edition, which is their conversion of the One Ring that was held previously by Cubicle 7. And now they have moved on to this and have begun to release this in PDF form and to release some of these beta adventures and things like that. And I will go over the few of the changes. It's very similar in a lot of ways to Adventures of Middle-earth, as you might expect. But there are a few differences which I think are important. One in particular I really like, having to do with a new mechanic called Fellowship Points. And I'll talk a little bit about what Fellowship Points do when we get there. There's also some discussion. It sort of streamlines certain things. There are basically three portions of the adventure, and that is during a action phase that you play. You basically have combat, council, and journeys that take you from one to the other. And then we have the fellowship phase, and folks should already be familiar with that. But as was the case in the previous one, fellowship phases will be integrated with what happens in the action phases also. So there's that to keep in mind. But I'll talk about some of the differences when we get there. We are, however, going to be going through some character creation here as well. But I do want to encourage everybody to check out, because it is available now on DriveThruRPG, the Lord of the Rings rule set, role-playing rule set, which I think is really interesting. As is the case with a lot of creators, I think everyone is relieved that we can continue to say that it's 5th edition and not be freaked out about it. That was not 100% clear to anyone last week, so I'm glad that we are glad that we're all good about that now, and that we can keep it that way. It is a system that I think is quite robust and will allow us to sort of do other things. Also, I should mention that I'm planning for these characters, for us to stay with these characters for a while. However, there may be an occasion later on, depending on the aspects that come out and what gets developed next, that we'll talk about under what circumstances the adventure is going to proceed. At the beginning, this will start in the Shire, and much of the adventure early on is going to be taking place almost exclusively in the Shire. It's not that I want to say the adventure is lower stakes, but it's more an exploration of the Shire and the characters that are found there. If that's where we stay, I don't know. It may be that down the line things may ramp up a bit as our hobbit's sort of strength ramps up as well, and abilities, we will see. But that's going to be part of the sort of feel and tone that we have for this as well. Hey, Shadowed, and yes, it is based on 5e rules, but again, modified for this system, and I think in some very interesting ways, as we'll talk about. So with that said, I'm going to pull up the map so we can see the map as we do our dice rolling here. And once again, this is the amazing work of Tari Toons. You can see for yourself this incredible view. And first of all, the map is amazing. That's directly from Lord of the Rings role-playing. But this incredible work with the tree and everything, it just, oh man, I cannot get over how good it looks. It just looks great. And you can see the portraits for everybody exactly where they are. So again, mad props to Tari Toons. This is why, by the way, you get a professional artist on your team. Like, you know, Tari's a great role player, whatever. She's a friend. Really, it's because of the art. Okay. It's just the art. That's right. But anyway, it just is perfect. And I forget who it was. It might have been Rudinel who said, oh no, it was Emily. I'm sorry. Emily said this, and Emily's 100% right. Like, this entire experience is 100% made for Tari. Like, you get to role play in something and do the art for it and also do genealogy. And Tari's like, thank you. I will have all of that feast. Thank you. I will consume all of it. So this is what you see. The tokens you can see here are laid out in the show.
It gets worse. You guys don't know that.
Yeah.
This, but like people on the like unofficial Lord of the Rings role playing and the One Ring Discord channel server, they know that I've also been working on illustrating an entire armorial just with all of the Lord of the Rings and Silmarillion and heraldry.
Wow.
It's been so much work.
Just wild.
It's been so much fucking work. Kill me.
Yep. It's and the role playing too. Granny's about to steal the show. I'm not ready for it. No, I'm very ready for it. I'm excited to see all of this crew. All of them. I love all of these characters. They're gonna be great. So okay. So with all of that said, let us go through and actually do a little bit of design. I'm gonna fire up just a little bit of music for us. Sort of appropriate music. I'm going to go to one of my old standbys, one of my favorites, which is Willow in the Light by Kevin MacLeod. Mostly because this always feels like, I don't know, light adventuring music. It's also way too loud. Come on. There we go. Much better. Much better. Okay. And once again, thank you to Free League for the funding that allowed us to get stuff like this overlay. I really do appreciate that. And I think it shows up as something which I think looks absolutely amazing as in terms of its picture. Okay. Now, I will leave this up to the players. We have... do any of you are close? I think probably Trentich is close to being finished except for stats.
Yeah.
Is that fair? So I'm wondering if we should start with that and then work backwards in terms of development, because hopefully it'll help some of the other players that aren't sure. as fully developed. Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about Titch. Titch is a man of Bree. Let's talk about what kind of a character he is, and then you can roll, do all the stats and all that kind of stuff. What kind of a character did you want to make him?
I was thinking about it for a while, and I was trying to figure out, you know, like, Tawny was a scholar and not really a combat thing, so I kind of decided I wanted to go with a more combat-focused character, and I figured, you know, and literally that guy at the gate in Bree, when Sam and Frodo and everybody get there, that's one of my favorite characters in the film, because, you know, he's just going through his daily life. He's just stuck at this damned gate and he gets crushed, you know, and I'm like, wait, well, maybe he lived, you know, so what if you've got 9 gigantic horses trampling on top of the gate? This one, maybe he lived, you don't know. No, he's dead. Anyway, so I thought, you know, what would that guy be like earlier on in his life? And so I was like, okay, and we never know his name, I don't think, you know, so I'm like, maybe that's Titch. And I didn't know Titch's name. I was like, what's a name for a good, you know, and at this point we were talking in Discord about how tall our characters were, because Terry rightly said, oh, so you're going to be the tall one in the group again. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But, you know,
only relatively.
Right. Because I found myself not wanting to play a hobbit for some reason. I was like, okay, so he's you know, just under 5 feet tall, like most of the men of Bree. And I'm like, but he's a gate guard. That is his background, which means that, you know, he stands on top of the gate. And when people come in, he's like, who are you? And you know, how many walkers have you killed? No, that's the last of us. Never mind. No, it's not. It's the never mind. Yeah, Walking Dead. Anyway, sort of that. So that gives him skill proficiencies for intimidation and perception, which makes sense because he's a gate guard. His job is to intimidate people
Warden, let's be clear, gate warden. We want
gate warden,
super dramatic. Yeah.
Right, gate but warden. He's a gate guard. He's like one of the youngest ones on the
crew. He's a gate ward, not a warden. He's not old.
Right, pretty much, yeah. Okay. But because he's a man of Bree, he also gets pipeweed lore. So if he sits around smoking his pipe for a while, he can give himself inspiration. I love it. It's great.
Freaking awesome.
But because of that, he has a skill called See Through a Brick Wall in Time. And I misread it as See Through a Brick Wall in Time. And I was like, why would that? What? That doesn't make any sense in the Lord of the Rings. Then I realized what it was.
But Gandalf says that of Butterbur, actually, and says he can see through a wall in time, as they say in Bree. When he's basically saying Butterbur isn't a fool, even if he comes across that way. So,
but this gives him proficiency with insight. So
awesome.
Yeah, so he's got proficiency in insight, intimidation, and perception. And then I decided I'm going to make him a fighter. I was like, should I make him, you know, the whatever the other one is that I didn't choose? I decided to make him a captain. And I was like, okay, that basically makes him, you know, just a regular old everyday fighter kind of thing. Didn't have, like, you know, super special stuff for it. So, yes. So proficiency with all armor and shields.
Yeah.
But he's the low man on the totem pole for the gate warden. So he's only got hide armor.
And it says choose two skills from animal handling, athletics, insight, intimidation, persuasion, and travel. I'm like, well, not travel. He doesn't go anywhere. He's a gate guard.
Not yet.
Right. Yeah. But he doesn't have proficiency at it because he's never done it.
Right.
And, you know, persuasion, that comes up later. But I'm like, okay, so I automatically get insight and intimidation because of the other two things. I get persuasion because there's something else later. I'm not going to do travel because he's never gone anywhere. So I'm like, okay, between animal handling and athletics, yeah, those are the two I'll pick. You know, so I figure he's the new guy on the wall. He's like, they're like, oh, take this pony to the hostler. These people are going to go to the inn. You take care of their horses.
Yep.
And so he picks up animal handling from that and athletics from climbing ladders up and down the walls all day long, watching, you know, doing weapons training and stuff.
I love it. Actually, and let me, but just before you go on, I just want to say one quick thing, which is I'm going to show on stream very quickly, chat, what they imagine as a captain. So I just want to point out, like, there's this, and then there's Trent's character. So look at this. It's like, oh, I am an epic, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then there's Titch.
She is awesome, though. I mean.
Oh, no, for sure. I wonder if Titch imagines himself as this, but is actually Titch. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if. Because Arudnell points out he might have lived when the doors went over him because people laying on nails, like maybe he was pushed into the mud. I had this image of Michael Caine coming over and being like, what good are all those push-ups if you can't even lift a bloody log? You know, like maybe you could lift it up.
I love anyway, that scene.
So that's the captain. But
you're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Another Michael Caine line. Nice.
Oh God, Michael Caine's so great. Anyway, so this is who Titch actually is. Okay, fair enough. I love all that.
He has proficiency with carpenter's tools because he's a carpenter. He's got to repair the wall sometimes. You know, so that made sense. Pipes. You know, that was a big thing. He has skill with making smoke rings and stuff, but he can't make, like, he can't blow sailing ships. He's not quite that good. But I started with one, what does it say? With one, it's right there. Starting virtue. I was looking through the starting virtues, and I'm like, it's a cultural virtue. It makes more sense than one of the open virtues. And I see friendly and familiar. I'm like, okay. Since you started your adventures, he really hasn't yet. You have realized that your folks' custom of trading with foreigners may help you in your endeavors. Okay. Your nice manners and friendly demeanor easily gain sympathy for those you meet, and your ability to inquire about the doings of strangers without letting your curiosity get the better of you provides you with many opportunities to learn from those you meet along the way. All right. This increases my charisma score by one. It increases our fellowship rating of the company by one.
And I'll come back to that. That's important. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And my proficiency bonus is doubled when doing insight, which I already had proficiency on, so that gives me expertise on insight. I mean, oh. And on an insight check I make, in addition, I have advantage on charisma persuasion checks. This is where persuasion comes into play, when interacting with dwarves, elves, hobbits, and men other than the Dunedain.
So, which is like, and what I love about this is if you tie that together with the expression, like part of the insight is just always like, no, I've seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it. Like the insight is partly just the constant paranoia of Titch being but somehow being likable. And that's why people, I assume, get along with him too, because of that friendly and familiar notice.
And so for those of you who have seen the movie Labyrinth, which is available to watch on Netflix right now, there's a scene towards the end during the goblin battle to get into the Goblin City, where Sir Didymus gets thrown off of Ambrosius, and Ambrosius is hiding. It's his dog that is his steed. And there's a scene where Ambrosius is shivering, and you can hear his armor rattling because he's trembling so much. I figure that's Titch at the start of a lot of fights. Yep. When he knows there's a fight coming up, he's very scared, but he has the courage to push through it. And when the fighting actually starts, he does what he needs to do, but it's that anticipation of the fight is what scares him the most.
Awesome. Really cool on all levels. This will be a time they're going to have to get used to. I have this image of all the party members being like, okay, so can Titch heal? Oh, Titch can't heal. Like Titch's no, version of healing is just like, we're all going to die.
Like, Titch can heal, right? And Titch is like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
He's bleeding out.